89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
How many toes is too many toes? The 11. Limit does not exist. Yeah, 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11. 11. And I've changed my mind. The limit does exist, and it's 11. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I made it back yet again for another round of pop with you, dude.
You're down for this. Yeah, yeah, you're in. You got lots of information locked and loaded.
I mean, absolutely. Okay, that's even just before we started, you were saying, "Are you ready?" And I was saying, "Of course, of course." And I realized that I have been saying the words "of course" like that for like months now. Like, it's become the new way I say that phrase. Of course.
Of course.
And I was like, why? Where is it from? What is it from? And it is, I just remembered it. It is from, you know, the show Game Changers? Yeah. Or like, we'll sometimes watch it on our phones. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on,
yeah,
on Dropout.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Game Changers or Make Some Noise. One of those. The one where they do all the improv. It shows up on my feeds all the time, and there is a particular episode, which is maybe one of my favorite reels or TikToks or just sections of that show ever, where is the prompt is someone tries to not order mayonnaise at Mr. Mayonnaise Sandwich Shop or whatever.
Okay.
the girl comes in and she's like, "Okay, I get a sandwich." And just the guy who's playing Mr. Mayonnaise is just like, "Of course, of course." And like, that's it. Just like the way his delivery on this impromptu line is now quoted by me on the daily. And it's just this like blip of a thing that no one's seen.
That is so good. That's so good. I do love the rest of that bit though. Where,
oh my gosh.
Where I think she's going through and she's like asking, you know, it's like lettuce, of course, tomato, oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
The mayo,
yeah, she's like, and mayonnaise, hey, that's my girl. And then she's like, you know what, and let's switch the lettuce for spinach and then just nix the mayo. And he's like, what's that now?
Yeah.
Oh my god, is that a gun? You know, it is such a funny bit. I absolutely love it. It's so funny, and I quote that one particular line all the time.
Why do I sort of love the idea of a eatery establishment that sort of has this kind of like it matters to us what you order mentality? Like, you know, it's like because it's called Mr. Mayonnaise or whatever, you're sort of like, oh man, this guy cares.
He cares
about the mayo.
He cares about the mayonnaise.
It's a vital inclusion on the sandwich, and without, you have ruined it.
It's like, if you don't get the mayonnaise, it's not just a slap in the face to like the owner, but to like his family dating back to, you know, 100 BC.
Right,
you
yes.
know, that
yeah,
my
yeah.
family put mayonnaise on the map, and you're going to come into Mr. Mayonnaise Sandwich Shop and not order some mayonnaise? What's the matter with you?
Back when we was just putting mayonnaise on rocks.
Exactly. Yeah. Putting mayonnaise on rocks. We made rocks edible. Okay, let me ask you this. Speaking of mayonnaise.
As you do. It's a common conversation topic. Yeah, well, I mean, so let me ask you before I'm going to interrupt.
Okay.
Do you like mayonnaise?
Yes, I like mayonnaise.
I like mayonnaise too.
Okay. Yeah, some people, just the word of it, they're just, it absolutely wrecks them.
We've said it a whole bunch of times.
I know.
Too. Yeah.
Some people are like, why on earth would you be doing this so much? Okay, actually, I have two things to say about mayonnaise.
And unexpected things to say about mayonnaise.
Yeah.
An amount of things to say about it.
One is that when we were growing up, we would watch the Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
We did, yeah.
Which was a collection of blue collar comics. Jeff Foxworthy, Bill Engvall, Larry the Cable Guy and
Ron White.
Ron White. Yes, God, I can't believe I was having trouble remembering Ron White. He came to the Berglund Center all the time.
I was gonna say, yeah, like you met him, right?
I've met him. I've had to promote his shows. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, and one of Jeff Foxworthy's like his go to bits that he'd like end the show with was, like, you might be a redneck if,
yes,
or whatever. And one, and then there would be these shirts that you could get, and they would be like some of those jokes on them or whatever. And one was like redefining the word mayonnaise as, like, mayonnaise, a lot of fish in this lake.
I had this very shirt.
You had the shirt. And so, like, and
not anymore.
Not anymore, but so often it just because you owned that shirt and because we would watch that that DVD,
right?
Like,
yeah,
we would, like, and anytime the word mayonnaise comes up, I will just say, man, there's a lot of fish in this lake.
It's been like baked into our brains.
I know, it's just baked into it. It's just like the word mayonnaise means this now.
Right. No, it's so true. And the thing about that shirt that I remember is that there was a girl that I was interested in high school, yeah, right around the time that I procured such a shirt, which I'm pretty sure I got at Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
You know, just to add to the flavor of the mayonnaise.
There's a whole like Jeff Foxworthy store down there, I mean, if
why,
I recall.
And why not?
Why not?
I mean,
yeah.
Best place to have it.
I know.
And anyway, yeah, so I remember that, like, she really liked my that, like, that
your mayonnaise shirt.
So that was like a shirt that, like, I would, like, wear on dates, like, lay it out special,
right?
You know, because it was sort of like when she really likes the mayonnaise shirt,
right? And yeah,
it's probably, yeah, the type of thing, like, when I look back on it in hindsight, it must have been the case that she was just sort of like trying to provide, like, a polite comment about what was otherwise a rather obnoxious shirt,
right?
But I took that and I ran, and,
like, that's it,
as
you like mayonnaise, I'm
it.
Gonna lay it on as thick as mayonnaise, let's go.
Yes, that. And then I had another shirt that was red that said the word holy, and then underneath it was a picture of a cow.
Yeah,
so it was my holy cow shirt.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
What was the who was the artist who does that? Woody something in Vermont.
Woody Jackson.
That sounds right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Speaking of, yeah, Woody Jackson, holy cow shirts. Because, again, you wouldn't believe the ways in which things like these
have infiltrated our homes.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, your shirts had a lot of impact on me.
Well, you know,
maybe.
I like to think, you know what? Maybe it wasn't just a polite comment, and maybe that girl really did like my mayonnaise shirt.
Maybe. Okay, this is impressing a way different kind of girl.
Okay.
And we're going back to the Berglund Center.
All right.
Okay, so we had coming to the show one time, Grace Potter.
Okay.
Are you familiar with her?
Yes.
Yes. Big artist from Vermont.
Okay.
Yes. And she's like very, very from Vermont.
Okay. Like a part
it's
of
like
her
part
essence.
Of like her brand and her like thing. So she was coming in and I was going through all this and I was like, you know what? I've been to Vermont a few times. I know a few like Vermont-isms and I know about the cows. And I'm like, if she's really from Vermont, she'll know about the cows.
Oh, well, she absolutely
she'll know
will.
About the Woody,
yeah,
Jackson shirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the art, because it's very prevalent. If you've seen on Ben and Jerry's ice cream containers, if you see the cows on there, that's that.
Those are the cows. I don't even think I knew that.
I don't know if it's the cows, but they are clear. Ben and Jerry's is also extremely from Vermont.
Yes.
And they are, those cows are very, if they're not the exact Woody Jackson cows, they are clearly being inspired by them.
Okay. Like an homage.
It's an homage because, yeah, it's all very Vermont-y. So Grace Potter is coming to the Berglund Center, and part of my job, which I really did not like doing, was that I would get slotted with trying to find a gift to give to the artist.
I would have loved that.
Oh, you'd think so. But it's like, it's so hard to find something that, because what you really want more than anything, it's not like a gift that like what you really want is to take a picture with your general manager and some of your staff with the artist holding the gift so that you can submit the picture to a magazine so that the magazine will print the picture and be like, hey, look how great this venue was or whatever.
Wow.
Like, other places should book here. This is like the grand scheme of it all.
Such subtext. We give great gifts.
And so we had a variety of gifts over the years, but coming up with something good was always tricky.
Okay.
Because it's not just like, oh yeah, here's some cool stuff from Roanoke or something. Like, they don't care. They really don't care.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, like they're on tour all the time. They're going to every city. They've been given every gift basket that features the pin and the t-shirt and the coffee mug and the piece of chocolate in the shape of whatever iconic landmark they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They've got it. So I was like, I'm gonna make a poster for Grace Potter.
Okay.
And it is this is what I did, is I made a big red poster.
Big red,
because I was thinking about your shirt, and at the top I put the word holy, and then I had the cow. Right?
Oh, amazing.
It said holy cow, and then underneath it it said it's Grace P. Utter. Like utter like a cow.
Oh my
holy
gosh.
Cow, it's Grace Putter.
Putter.
P. Utter. Yeah. And I was like, as I'm making it, I'm like, this is such a fun idea. Like, this is going to be great. Like, I have nailed this one. I have used my personal experience to zero in on a niche Vermont thing that she will appreciate.
Certainly.
And I was like so proud of it. And I like show it to my general manager and our assistant general manager. And you can tell they are like, there is no way we are handing Grace Potter this cow poster that says, look, you're like their mind. Like, I was handing them a poster. I was handing her a poster that said, like, you're a cow. You know,
I mean, it's not like I'm incapable of seeing that perspective.
Right. Right.
However.
Yes.
Semicolon. Yes.
Semicolon.
However, oh, okay. Semicolon.
Yeah.
I think semicolons come after the word however.
Okay.
But I don't actually know. And I keep dropping it in office. I keep saying however, semicolon. Nobody is catching it.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm using semicolons correctly.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing about the word however. It's like one of the common places you use a semicolon.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's not the point of the story.
Not the point.
You know, I just wanted the grammar police out there to be like, yay, Ben!
Woo!
But
you did it.
But maybe they're like, Ben, you misunderstood, and now they're going to come in and correct me.
Yeah. So normally when you get to the artist gift portion of the evening, you will, like, it'll be the general manager or the assistant who will, like, present them with the gift. Like, you have gathered it, but then they hand it to them. Right? Like, thank you for coming to our venue. We got you thing.
Did
right?
they make you do it?
They made me do it.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah. I'm not totally surprised.
But you know, you can tell he's just like, this is gonna be bad. He's like, that was his impression. It was clear that he thought I had totally bungled this and that I was about to make a fool of us all with my holy cow, it's Grace Piotr poster.
Right.
I was just like, you know, I don't think I would have, and like his perception that it was going to be embarrassing was like starting to like wear off on me, because like now I'm like, oh man, I'm about to be the fool.
Dude, self-doubt is like a virus.
Yeah.
You know, it's like once injected, it's sort of like it just keeps growing.
And not only that, I could tell he was a little happy about it. I could tell he was like, I can't wait to watch this happen to you.
And
I was like, boy, I know. I was like, there was a little part of me was like, yep, go ahead, go for it. Can't wait. This is going to be, you know,
your funeral,
yeah. Basically. Anyway, Grace comes out and we're sitting there and I'm holding it. And I'm like, well, the moment of truth is here. And I flip it around and she looks at it and she could not have been more excited. She was like, oh my God, it's the Woody Jackson cow.
No way.
Oh man. I mean, she loved it. She was ecstatic. She completely got it. I had read the situation exactly right. And we got a great picture and everyone was very impressed that I knew what was up.
Wow.
So, I know. That was my experience buying Grace Potter a gift. slash by buy it, I mean, I'll make it myself.
Wow. Wow. That's really good, Jay.
Yeah.
That's really good. What did the people on staff who were convinced that you had done a wrong?
They were impressed. They're like, wow, you were right. You got it.
Nailed it.
I know. So I was pretty happy with that particular gift that I had to come up with.
That's really good. And yeah. I'm glad that my shirt that I also thought was impressing, you know, the 16-year-old girl I was dating at the time, while I was also 16, for clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this was last year. No, it wasn't. I'm glad that it has now not only impressed her, but also Grace Potter.
Yeah.
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 It makes me feel like if I was out on the street wearing my Holy Cow shirt, it's like maybe I'm sort of like, maybe I should get a new one.
Maybe you should.
You know, like re-up.
Yeah. Next time we're in Vermont, go ahead, go get grab a new Holy Cow shirt.
From the Woody Jackson store. From
the Woody Jackson store.
Would you recall that our first ever wallets?
Ben, if you don't think I remember my purple Velcro wallet with a Woody Jackson cow on it, you'd be wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
I remember.
You know what I love the most about those wallets?
What?
Is that they had a coin pouch inside of it, like a zippered pouch where you could put coins. As if you would, I mean, the idea of now sitting on coins is an atrocity.
Yeah.
It's like, no, don't do that. But half the time that was all the money I had.
I remember that wallet so much that I literally spent like 20 minutes one day on Google trying to find if I could buy one to give to like my kids to be their first wallets.
What?
I know. And I could not find them.
Couldn't find the Woody Jackson
wallet? No, I guess they stopped making, vinyl Velcro cow wallets.
To their demise.
To their demise. I know. They could have sold one to me.
It's at least three sales.
I know.
Out the window.
Exactly.
Who would have gotten purple?
I guess I was probably mostly buying it for Luke because they don't really have a ton of money. Believe it or not.
The kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they don't have day jobs yet.
Yeah. No.
You know, but I mean, a couple more years.
Yeah. I think Luke would have gotten purple.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Match dads.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, do you remember? I know we've talked about like koozies and huggers on the pop
naturally,
before.
Yeah.
Yeah. The things you use to hold your cold drink.
Right.
Yeah. That were better than today's flimsy, flimsy, like light, micro, thin koozies.
The ones that they like design to put in your back pocket.
Yeah.
No way. You aren't, I don't know what's with me in sitting on things today, but like, you are not supposed to sit on your koozie.
Not supposed to sit on your koozie, man. You want a nice, like a big foam hugger. That's where it's
a
at.
A hugger.
The drinking experience cannot be compared to drinking a cold bev out of a soft hug.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's where it is. Anyway, we had at our house, Mom had got a, It was like a fish shaped hugger. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that one as well. And I was like, Luke was getting big into the huggers. He was loving using them. And I was like, I'm going to try and find the fish hugger. And also just extremely hard to track down.
Really?
From the internet. I would have been like, I thought I was going to be like, fish hugger, boom, done. This clearly is obviously in big rotation with all the youths. But no. But no. People have left the fish hugger in the past.
Wow.
It's embarrassing.
How many things do you think that were utterly brilliant? Or should I say potterly brilliant? that's a Grace Potter, Woody Jackson cow niche joke that
there
nobody except for this group of people gets.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you think there are like really, really, really great things that are just like, left behind?
Yeah.
We just like never do it again.
Yeah,
you know,
probably
like,
a lot.
Technology advances. We don't need this anymore. And therefore, it's like, you know, a common prior solution to a problem is just no more.
I mean, it has to be happening all of the time.
Yeah.
All of the time.
I'm thinking
sadly.
Of like giant like ice tongs that people would have used for like their, you know how you used to have like an ice box
mm-hmm.
in your house instead of like a refrigerator?
Yeah.
I imagine that people used to have like a really nice pair of like cast iron ice tongs.
For like handling the big blocks.
The big blocks of ice. Oh, man. What I wouldn't give for a big block of ice.
If only. I mean, you could probably make your own pretty easy.
In my chest freezer downstairs.
Probably just, you know, put some water in a cooler and leave it open. Out night.
That's true. It has been so
outside.
Actually, this is a really great segue because I think maybe I talked about it recently, but I've been doing my ice baths again.
Yeah.
Ice baths are in season.
They're in season.
And I have no idea why. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it was the case that like several years ago, I was like all into it. And like for a while I was like, I don't want to be cold.
Mm.
You know, I was like, that seems so miserable.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, how do I make it even colder?
How do I go even deeper?
Even deeper. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I have set up like one of the water troughs in my basement, and I've been doing the ice baths, and I've been taking like my entire container of like ice from my freezer every night and dumping it right on in there.
You do it every night?
Every night.
Man.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I'm up to 2 minutes, man. You know,
dude.
You go in, you know.
I mean, like, that's impressive.
The other thing I've even been doing is holding my nose and like tipping backwards and going like full underwater plunge.
Full
with
submersion.
It. I know. Yeah. Nothing colder than having your face under like, you know, 48 degree water.
Right. Does it take your breath away?
It does.
Yeah.
It's like, take my breath away. That's why I play that song every every single time. Yeah, I've got like a little like Bluetooth speaker down there. Yeah. It plays one song. It's that song.
That sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. It really helps with the experience. You wonder what's really shocking about it, and this is my pro tip for ice plunging. Do it with your significant other.
Ah.
Because there is something really, really weird about how this is the case, but having another human being standing by telling you that you're okay makes a difference.
Makes a difference. Like, you can do it.
You can do it. It's like, you are fine. Like, it goes back to, we keep even saying, like, you know, it's like painful, but not like dangerous, which is kind of like my old phrase of like scary, not dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's like, it literally is like that, you know, as long as you get out, you know, in a proper amount of time, you know. Actually, somebody sent me a kind of funny meme the other day, because I know that I do this, and they were like, it's like microdosing hypothermia. I was like, oh man, I don't want to think about it like that. But yeah, no, it's wild. Like, you get in there, you're fully submerged, and you're just sort of like, you know, you need the person like barking in your face, being like, hey, everything's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're completely safe. At any point in time, you can step out. And then also, for our anniversary several years ago, Mom bought us a towel warmer.
Oh.
And when we renovated our bathroom, it sort of got like set aside. And so like, we hadn't been like reaching for it. And then we were like, you know, what's a great idea? We'll go downstairs. We'll get ready for our ice baths. We'll throw our towels into the towel warmer. And then when we get out, we get to pop those bad boys on.
Mm.
Boom, bam. Absolutely amazing.
I bet they are.
Yeah. Cause then you get out and your body, like all of, like the blood cells are like shooting like crazy. Yeah. And then you get kind of like warm all of a sudden.
Right.
Then you go upstairs to the gas logs. And you know, you got a nice fireplace going, you get cozied up underneath a blanket, turn on the Outdoor Boys YouTube channel, and
you watch
this guy go camping in the wilder woods of Alaska.
Are you noticing like any like health benefits from doing the plunges, or is it just solely for the adrenaline rush of it all?
Have you not been able to tell my increase in chipperness? No.
Maybe now that we're on the pop, maybe on the show you're a bit more chipper.
Oh.
Yeah.
You think I'm just turning it on for the show?
I don't know. Maybe it's just like, maybe you were reserving it for this moment.
This moment. Yeah. No, I do think it makes me more chipper.
Yeah.
There's like a definite, like, you're using the wrong knob. There you go. It's the one on the other side.
Well,
Jay's fixing his microphone stand, guys. Not to worry. He's been tightening the telescoping arm one this entire time when he needs to be tightening the pivoting arm. Here we go. We got this. Keep talking to us, Jay, as you do it there. Oh. Yep.
That took a lot of effort.
I imagine so, because I tightened it pretty hard when I fixed it for you.
Yeah.
Under the objective of it never being a problem ever again.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. If you
didn't fix it hard enough.
I didn't fix it hard enough. I have some more ideas. Not to worry. I'll keep going.
Okay.
Eventually, it's going to look like a science experiment over there with like all sorts of like springs and contraptions and,
it's
and
like,
glass
it's
bottles.
Not
and
moving.
Fine tubing and maybe a Bunsen burner. And it's like, why do we need all that to keep the microphone at bay?
Like, I mean, you can watch it drop.
I mean, I can see it drop.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, Jay, I'm pranking you.
Okay.
That's the real
that's
thing.
That's the real happening. Thing.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good times.
Yes.
For anybody who's going to come and see us on tour, you just got to, I mean, you got to see it for yourself.
I mean, it's, I agree. You should come see it for yourself, because like, it is flabbergasting to me.
Flabbergasting.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll come out and I'll be like, okay, and here we are. And it's like, once again, it's just like falling apart. And I'm like, I haven't even touched it.
You know what I think would be really cool is if on tour, we just brought two troughs with us, and we launched every show with a quick ice bath.
A quick ice bath.
Just a quick ice bath. True. Right there up on stage. I mean, you know, how hard could it be?
Pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty hard.
Especially if you're like training over there, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm dying.
My feet are so cold.
Dude, that is the thing. It is my feet all the time. Like, I wish, it's like, I try and mentally overcome it so hard. Like, even when I go like out to my fridge or my garage, like if I'm going out there barefoot, like right now the ground is very cold.
Yeah.
And I will just sit there and like try and just stand there on my bare feet and just be like, it's just the bottom of your feet right now on the cold. And it's just like, I can feel it like hurting, you know?
It is really interesting, because that is like the mental telegram you have to like send yourself, is that it's like, you're in there and every single video, every like person who's like, I've like watched like talk about like their experiences, like just trying to get like anecdotal evidence as to like whether or not this is actually like beneficial for you.
Yeah.
Every single person is like, I've done it every day for a year. It sucks every single time.
Wow.
And I'm like, it really is kind of unbelievable that like the only thing you can do is increase your like mental fortitude against the discomfort, because that is, and what I have to do every single time is just like turn my brain off and let it go through the motions of doing the action.
Right.
You know, and just sort of being like, okay, like this is taking place. It's happening. I am like, I can lift my leg up. I can step into the container. I can fall into place. I can like allow the experience to immerse itself around me. And so like, yeah. So like if you're walking out there in the snow and you're just going to like stand in the snow in your bare feet.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you just have to keep telling yourself in your head. It's like, it's fine. Like nothing bad will befall me.
Right.
And I don't know if it makes a difference, but it's what I do.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I'm sure you're like training yourself to like endure like some amount of like agony.
Yeah.
Overall.
Well, and so it's kind of a nice segue into another thing I wanted to talk about today, because it's been something I feel like I've been contemplating a little bit, and I feel like it comes up in a variety of different ways at the moment. But me and Alice go to like couples counseling. It's like just like a regular kind of ongoing thing. It's like a checkup type of scenario. I remember a long time ago on the vlog we like mentioned that we were going to our session that day, and everybody was like, "Oh my gosh, are they okay?" And it was like, yes, like
yeah.
This is proactive. Like this is
right.
This is not detriment.
Right.
But we were in our session yesterday, and the therapist had like taped a new sign to her wall there. That was essentially the sentiment of like, what are you willing to do to get the things you want? And alternatively phrased would be like, what are you willing to suffer for? And so like I was like, man, that's like a really kind of interesting thing, because like right now Alice and I have sort of been like contemplating a little bit this idea of like moving from our current home into a new home.
Mm-hmm.
And a big thing that we're really interested in is like a lot of space. And so we found a property that is basically like a small farm. It's like a 50-acre plot.
Okay.
You know, so it's like a lot of space.
Yeah.
With like what is otherwise effectively like a double wide home on the property.
Right.
So it's the land and space and like openness that I really, really, really want.
Mm-hmm.
The home itself is completely fine.
Right.
Like, you know, it is a habitable environment, but it hasn't been well kept up. And it's not like, there's nothing like wrong with it, but it's not very like glitz and glamoury either. Like
right.
we've done a lot of work to our current home that like makes it, you know, comfortable and fun, and you know, we're proud of like the additions and stuff. So
right.
Anyway, but then, you know, like we're kind of like going through all the ins and outs of like, what would it be like to do this? Because this is like a daydream of mine, you know, it's sort of like the idea of just going out and having like all of this space and like a lot of like quiet and solitude and privacy and like all of those things ring really true to me. And one of the things I even like to do is like go and work the property. And one of the big limitations of our current home is that it's just like everything about the even the physical plot that I live in, like some houses out there are bigger than the current plot of land we own.
Right.
Hard stop. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's a very small spot in the city. You know, you're surrounded on all sides by sidewalks that are heavily frequented by people. You kind of feel like you're in a fishbowl a little bit. Like even when you're like watching TV at night, like I remember watching like Game of Thrones and I'm like, people are walking their dogs. They can see straight into our living room right now, like with minimal context. And if you have any familiarity with Game of Thrones, it's like, There's probably some people who were like, what are those people up
to? What are they watching? Yeah. Wow.
So a bit discomfortable in that particular you know, capacity or whatever. But so I'm out looking at this property yesterday, and while I'm out there, this like phrase is echoing in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Like it's very like, what are you willing to do to get the things you want? And it's such a simple phrase, but complicated in terms of like truly wrapping your head around what sacrifices you would be willing to go to in order to have what you want.
Right.
And so that's because that becomes the conversation. Like you can live where you currently live, you can, or have what you currently have and want something more, but like, do you only want something more because of like a grass is always greener kind of perspective on something? Or if you were to literally be like, okay, I want this, it's going to come with challenges.
Right.
I am willing to face those challenges.
Right.
And I mean, it's interesting because you can apply it to anything. Like, you know, like I would love to be super fit. And it's like, are you willing to like eat this highly regimented, you know, diet all the time? Are you willing to go and like live in the gym all the time? It's like, do you want that outcome? Or if you want that outcome, are you willing to do what it takes in order to have that outcome?
Right.
And then even if you can answer the question, I'm not willing to do what it takes, does that at all help you come to peace with the idea
of not wanting it?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. It's like, you know what? Like, I would love that. However, I'm not willing to do that. And I think that if you can like frame it that way, it might actually allow people to come to peace with things that feel very aspirational, but like, it's kind of like, yeah, but I'm not here to put my whole life's work to those ends.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I know. Well, sometimes I think it's like, it can be a lot more complicated. Because even just like, you know, like, oh, getting fit or whatever. I would love to be, you know, very fit and look, you know, ripped and muscular and whatever.
Sure.
You know, go be like, look at me. I got like a whole six pack rocking here or whatever.
Boom, bam, yeah.
Yeah. You know? And it's like, am I willing to do the work? It's like, I feel like, I would be willing to do it. It's the you know, as life is, it's almost like it's very difficult to like to make it happen based on like kids and the kind of food you're around all the time. Maybe it's just like, well, then you're not willing to do it. Maybe you're just not willing to do it. Like, you could do it.
Right.
Or whatever.
Well, and I mean, and that's the thing too, is that like, I mean, and not to speak for you or anything like that, or to say that anything is a dichotomy where it has to be one or the other.
Right.
But like, I think that probably on some level, when it would really boil down to it, it's like, would you rather go home and spend time with your family and kids or go and spend that time like at a gym, or even just going home and like going to the basement and doing the Peloton,
right,
like away from your kids or whatever. And it's like, I mean, not to speak for you or anything, but like, it seems like probably on the whole, you would rather go and spend the time with your kids.
Yeah. For the most part.
Right.
Right.
And so I think that like, even that is kind of playing into it, because, it's like the, like, you know, That probably, I think, demonstrates your value system.
Right.
I guess is like what it really comes down to. It's sort of like, because I feel the same way sometimes, where it's like, man, I don't have time to like do everything I want to do. And it's like, that's not necessarily true. I'm just not willing to stop doing the things that I hold as a higher priority.
Right.
Which would be, you know, time with the family, or, you know, time with Addison, or whatever the case may be. What I think is really unusual about all this is that everybody's priorities out there in the real world are so different from one another, but what we see grow to the surface so often, the ones that make it onto like the fronts of magazine covers, or the ones who go on to be content creators or influencers, or, you know, actors, you know, famous business people,
right,
like whatever the case may be. It's like, those are all of the people that make it seem attainable, because you're seeing the real life living version of those people in all of these different avenues.
Yeah.
What you're not seeing is all of the other choices that they made that allowed them to,
yeah, to like get there.
To get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, then when it really boils down to it on like a lot of levels, it's like, are you willing? Would you have been willing to make those same choices?
Right.
Because I would be willing to bet that in a lot of cases, the answer would be like, at some point you'd be like, this is too far.
It's too far.
Like, you know, it's like the people that make those outcomes, it's like, it's a radical approach to life.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's not everybody lives a radical lifestyle.
No, they don't. And especially it's like, it could be, you know, harder and harder to get to live such a lifestyle, like the older you get and stuff.
Also true.
Like, you know, like I sometimes think, like when we were starting on YouTube, like the act of coming home and making the videos after we did work and just like committing to it, like hard stop, we are doing it, felt like, you know, like, I bet I don't think a lot of people would do that.
No, you know? I mean, I've even thought before that like, I don't even think we could do it now.
Right.
You know, it's like, I think that like our specific timing, like where we were in life. And what's interesting is that like when we were doing Super Carlin Brothers in that way, because it wasn't like our jobs, a lot of times it almost felt like a major sacrifice to our like hobby.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like one of those things where it was like, you know, our significant others and everything were kind of like, you know, they're always disappearing down into this like dank basement.
Yeah.
You know, to go and do this thing. And it's like, I think the reality of it was that we were actually quite, well, I mean, we were living radically.
Yeah.
To use the exact terminology we've established.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, but I don't think we could do that necessarily as easily now.
Right. Like if we just had, you know, if right now you had like a different day job and it was like, hey, why don't we try and like launch this thing? We'll do this like week, this, you know, daily video series or whatever.
Right.
You know, like it would feel impossible now to like come home from work and be like, well, what's up guys? I'll be downstairs until, you know, 10 if you need me.
Right. 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 Exactly. Yes. Yes. But I mean, even like copy and paste that exact routine that we were going with and even just turn it into like exercising.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you come home, you eat a quick dinner, and then from 6 to 10, it's like, I'll be in the basement working out.
Right.
You know, it's like, you would see results from that.
I mean, you would.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
But like, at what cost?
At what cost?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're giving something up.
And really, the only reason I bring it up, it's not to be discouraging. I think it's more like, because everything is always so placed before us, I think a lot more of what I'm trying to say is like, I think if you were to actually be able to fully review and examine what that path might look like, you might be able to make the decision for yourself. Like, you know what? Like, that is not a path that I'm able to or even want to go down. And then the hope to me would be that that would then provide some solace, some peace.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so you're like coming to turn, like, does that mean you feel like you like don't necessarily, I guess it doesn't sound like you like do want the property you were looking at?
Well, I think it's a really good question because I think I'm still in the heat of it right now. Mm-hmm. But I do think that like this was the question I was forced to ask myself yesterday. Cause like a lot of times I will sit and contemplate and daydream.
Yeah, and just like wax poetic about the how lovely it would be to have a just a nice wide open space of land where I could go walk in the woods and tend to my fields and
yes.
Drink some coffee on the porch and
all of the above.
Yes.
I mean you're nailing the vision.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that's exactly like what I would, you know, envision for this particular lifestyle. But it's like on some level, you know, the like attainable version of that are going to come with counterweights.
Right.
And you're going to have to figure out how those counterweights would impact the life, you know, that maybe you're used to, I guess, and figure out like what that lifestyle change would ultimately look like. So
right.
I don't know that I've like fully, you know, proverbially made it through the woods yet.
Yeah.
But I do think that this is like the conversation that is like living in the back of my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's, that's a tricky one. I know. It's like, even I think about stuff like that too. Like I would, you know, like we live in a pretty suburban, place ourselves and it's like, I love where we live. You know, it's a great like neighborhood and stuff. But part of me is like, yeah, I wish we had like just a, like a little bit more space.
Yeah.
Just like like we're a little more adjacent to some woods.
Right.
Or, right. You know, had like a large flat area. Or just, you know, something.
Right.
Like, just like, not a ton more, but maybe, like, still near people, but, like, a little more secluded.
Right.
Kind of situation. It's like, but, you know, that's, you know, what would that entail? That would be quite a bit. It's like, it's fun. It's like, I think about that, and I'm like, but, like, if I can't really move away from here or anything, you right. know, like, where we are, and it's sort of like, well, that would mean just moving to a different place where we currently live, just for sort of the sake of upgrading, which is not like unheard of or anything.
No, people do that.
People yeah. do it. People do it. But it would be a big, you know, financial burden and it would like uplift the way my current status quo in
yes.
a way
yes.
that would be, you know, maybe hopefully beneficial in the long run. But like in the meantime, it's like, is it worth all that effort when you're pretty happy already? You know, it's like, I mean, and you're right. It's like a very good question. Like maybe it is totally. I mean, it's not like, but then it's also sometimes like, well, but like, just cause you don't want to do it now doesn't mean you can't do it later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, like right now, like it's very, like where I live is very conducive to like, you know, the state of life I'm in.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah. No, and I think that that's all like really, really good details to outline, you know, inside of the exact process.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, but then, yeah, like the big question is sort of like, you know, the action versus the like inaction. So it's like when you go back to like Super Carlin Brothers and starting and making this decision and this like major commitment and the disruption that it was going to cause to our everyday life,
yeah.
You look back on it and you're like, best decision we ever made.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like could not have made a better decision in this particular regard.
Right.
And like, I even remember buying my current home and like, you know, I was touring all these like locations and like, you know, you're trying to figure out like what price point is appropriate. And I remember like looking at the house and it was kind of like before like things had really started to like get going for us a little bit. And so the house that I bought was basically like the reach, you know? And yeah. I remember at the time it was like, what am I doing? Like I shouldn't be making this decision because it's like, it's going so far, you know, but then that house has been so amazing to me. And it was sort of like, you know, when I look back on it, I'm like, well, it was such a great decision. It was a great investment. It's
an
excellent part of town. The value has gone up. Like all of these things have like worked out really well. Like, you know, I proposed to Alice in that house. Like we've made the house our own. We brought Addison home to it. Like it's like, I can't imagine all of these major moments in my life happening anywhere else. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness I got it. But there was a day that I was unsure about whether or not it was the right decision.
Right.
And so that's like the other like really difficult thing to grapple with is that you're like, someday I will have hindsight. Someday I will know.
Someday you'll know.
But you're standing on the side of it where it's like, do you take that risk? Are you willing, you know, and again, like, what are you willing to suffer for?
Right.
And I think it's a really, really, really interesting question because it's like, it almost requires like in order to like break through the walls that like, or the ceilings that like, you know, exist above you, it's almost like it takes a certain amount of like perseverance or, you know, suffering to figure out how to like ascend to the next stage. And is that even something you want?
Right.
You know?
I know, dude, I grapple with it all the time. I know what you mean.
Such difficult questions.
It is such difficult questions. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No doubt.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, whenever I am closing out the past year, I look back on everything that I pulled off in the last 365 days and wonder what the next trip around the sun might hold for me. And let me just say, now is the time. Now is your moment. Let's do this. And take that new business idea that's been rolling around in the back of your head and make it a reality. Whether you're looking for a side hustle or jumping right into the deep end, Shopify is there to help you along the way. So if you've got an idea for emotional support plants, let Cactus Carl and Sam the Succulent do their best work and get in the hands of people who need them. Now, I'm sure that you guys have an idea of your own that's even better, but just in case, you can have the name Fern Ando. Absolutely free of charge. It really is the best time to start your new business, whatever it is, because established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? So sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/poppop.
Hey, you guys, we've made it to a new year. Happy 2025. It's good for you, good for us. And as usual, it's time to start figuring out, you know, what kind of hopes and dreams we've got for 2025. And what better goal than to try and learn a new language? I mean, I took Latin in high school, which was, you know, it was an easy class, but like, I can't speak another language now. So, you know, that I always kind of felt bad about that. But I mean, for one, learning a new language expands your brain, which is always good. But maybe you've also got like travel on your list. List of things to do, and a new language helps unlock new destinations as well, because it's like if life was a video game and now you get to enter that whole new world. And there's no better way to learn a new language than with the most trusted name in the game, Rosetta Stone. It's available as an app or on desktop and truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. You might be hesitant or even think, ugh, but it'll take forever to learn a new language. But don't fret, because not with Rosetta Stone. It is set up for fast language acquisition. It is designed to teach you how to speak, listen, and even think in that language, which is just like so cool. So start the new year off with a resolution you can reach. Today, Popcorn Culture listeners can take advantage of this Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today!
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. I don't know about y'all, but everything seems to be getting more expensive. Whether it's at the grocery store or the latest notification from a streaming service letting you know that prices went up again. But one company is doing the opposite. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless services starting at just $15 a month. And you might be thinking, like, what? That's too good to be true. How could they possibly? Well, I have the answer. Mint is the first company to sell their services online only, meaning they don't have to pay for the overhead of expensive brick-and-mortar stores like the competition. And also, let's be real, if you've got a New Year's resi to try and save more money, Mint Mobile is a great jumping-off point. $15 is a quarter of what I was paying on my last plan, meaning that I'm saving over $500 next year just by switching to Mint. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/poppop. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Like, I know I talked about this last week. I keep reading, I've still been reading Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, yeah.
About the cowboys and such.
Naturally.
You know, which is a very good book. I would totally recommend it. It's, so far, it's gotten to the point now where they're actually like on their big cattle drive. So it's still jumping from character to character a lot, but it's like they're not like all sitting in the same place anymore.
Okay.
You know, it's like when we're at this character, you're like, oh yeah, you're on that adventure and you're on this adventure and you're on that adventure or whatever.
You want to know how I know you're really enjoying this book?
What?
You went into the bathroom the other day to like do your mustache and hair to record a video, and you turned on the audiobook while you were in there for like 4 minutes.
For like 4 minutes. Sometimes when I'm at home and I'm doing like the mustache and hair, it can take me like 15 minutes. So I wasn't sure how long it was going to take me.
Okay.
But sometimes at home, I'll also just sort of get like, I'll get like my razor out and get sidetracked with like very particular tiny little hairs here and there, you know? And it'll take like what feels like way too long. And I'm
gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. So you were potentially getting in for like the long, you were settling in.
I was like, this might take a second. So.
Right. Yeah, may as well get comfortable.
Yeah. But it's also like just kind of like a long book too.
So okay.
Just trying to like, I can get a few more minutes here. Good. We're going to get through it, you know?
There we go.
Yeah. But like, the thing that it keeps, I guess, I don't know if there's a main character, but, probably my favorite character is, Augustus, who was the character who inspired me to read the book anyway.
Okay.
Although actually hilariously, this past weekend I was at a, birthday party with Luke. I took him to one of his friend's birthday parties.
Yes.
And his friend Gus was there, and I was talking to like
the namesake of Augustus.
The namesake of Augustus. And I was talking to his mom. I was like, oh, so Beth told me like you guys like chose, like part of how you chose Gus's name was from like Lonesome Dove. And she was like, well, man, she sort of like hedged around it a bunch. She's like, well, like it, like Augustus was already on our short list, and then like, you know, Ed really liked it, and you know, since then I've like watched the miniseries. I haven't read the book or anything, and I was like, oh man, I got into this for different reasons. Like now I'm like 20 hours into a book and I feel misinformed about how impactful it was.
If I had known, I might not have read it. Yeah. Like, this book is so good that you named your child after it. Yeah. Okay, so now I have to revoke my ability to name a future child Quoth.
Yeah. No. I could have just, but I didn't talk to Gus's dad about it. Maybe it was a bigger impact for him.
Sure.
But as far as mom was like, she also just liked the name Augustus. So anyway, though, you got like the two main characters, Augustus and Call, and they're like, you know, partners in crime, so to speak. But like one of them's very straight shooter, very respectable, do things a certain way. And then Augustus is very like just philosophizing and never stops talking and always has a wise crack for everything and just sort of like
flattered that you love this character so much.
Sees the joy in everyday life. He's always got a story for like everything anyone says.
Okay.
And it's just like, it reminds me non, I think I said this last time, it reminds me nonstop of like our like Uncle Bill.
Oh, yes. You know? Okay, yeah.
And I just like, it's like, as I keep listening to it, I can't not keep thinking about him, which is weird because it's like, we didn't see him that often, you know? At all.
No. I mean, yeah, not terribly a lot, but I would say every time we did was always impactful.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was like anytime we did, it was impactful. And like, he definitely just had like a way of like corralling the whole room and like getting everyone to listen to some crazy story about a goat, you know?
Right.
Like,
right, yes.
It's what it feels like when you're listening to this book. It's like, it's definitely like cut from the same cloth or whatever. And then I just like, I think about the times we went to their house, which is also maybe like less than 10 times.
Oh, I mean, I would say less than five.
Less than five. Very few times, because it was more like going to like our grandmother's brother's house who lived in yet another state.
Right.
You know, so like, it's not like they weren't around, but we didn't like spend enormous amounts of time with them. But like, I can like so vividly remember the inside of their house.
I know.
And like, I remember like the driveway, and they had like a barn and this big hill and like a pond and stuff. And I'm just like, every time I think about him, I'm like, he just seemed like the happiest person.
Well,
you know,
I mean, literally, this is exactly what I was telling Alice yesterday, the property we went and looked at, is I was like, to me, I almost feel like there's this like ancestral, like, you know, vibration that is like coming out of me.
I know.
And it's like, that's why I like this stuff, you know,
right.
Like even like when we pulled up, there was like a tractor parked, you know, in the driveway. And I was like, does the tractor like come with it? And they were like, you want the tractor? And I was like, yes, I want the tractor.
Want the tractor, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That would be like a huge feature to me to, right. You know, anyway. And then, I mean, on this exact note, we're talking about how Gus's name, you know, came from this character.
Yeah.
I mean, is it not the case that your own son, Luke William.
Yeah. William comes from Bill, from Uncle Bill.
From Uncle Bill. Yes, yeah.
Exactly. So it's like there, it's right there anyway.
It's right there.
Not for nothing, but he also has a son named Nate.
No way.
Yeah. Well, you know. What?
Oh. I thought you meant the character in the book. I was like, what is happening?
What is happening? Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Okay. Our uncle has a son named Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, are you surprised to learn that?
No,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know our second cousin, Nate.
Yes, our second cousin, Nate. Who my son, Nate, is not named after. But it's one of those things when you're considering names and you're like, Nate. And you're like thinking about it and you're like, every person I've known named Nate has been great. And that was one of those people as well.
Right.
Who,
yes.
By the way, Nate is in fact one of the funniest people
he truly
I have
is.
Ever met.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I can like, I think that like core muscles, my base strength came from laughing at his stories.
I know.
As a kid. Yeah.
But even that, it's like clearly that still just came from his dad.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like growing up in this environment and stuff. So it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I keep thinking about it. And I'm like, he was always having fun, whatever it was, you know? I don't know.
Got to just like live that life.
You just got to like enjoy like the simple pleasures of life. I feel like that's what that family has always excelled at in a way that I've never seen anywhere else.
Right.
You know,
yes.
All of them are like that.
I know. Yeah. I mean, because this is like the family that our family shares like our small little cabin in Vermont with.
And yeah.
I remember once upon a time I was chatting with one of the other brothers, one of our other cousins that we always kind of refer to as cousin uncle because they're closer to our dad's age, but
it was our dad's cousins.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember one day I was chatting with him and I was like, yeah, I think those guys down the road, they seemed a little like frustrated with me. I hope I didn't do something wrong. He's like, nah, they're just mad. You're having more fun than them. And I was like, it always got stuck in my brain. I was like, oh.
That right there, that is an Augustus McCray like quip. Nah, ain't it.
No. That ain't it.
That ain't it. You got the wrong take on life there, Laura. You know, whatever.
Are we going to become Western?
Maybe, man. I've already got a mustache, you know. I'm like a cowboy hat and some boots away from just, you know, just living a whole different life.
I mean, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Maybe we don't pick up and move to nearby farmland that I'm looking at, but instead we just, you know, we go out to the Great White West.
Yeah, the White West.
I don't really know why it's white, but does it snow there?
Certainly it does. In parts of it.
The Great West.
The Wild West, I believe it's
the
called.
The Wild West.
Yeah.
Lower hanging fruit. Well done.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go. But I don't know. It does feel like the same kind of lifestyle that he was living up there in Massachusetts, just on a farm.
Yeah.
I say farm. I don't remember. There's not like fields or anything.
I mean,
you know, it's like in the woods.
They had a sleigh that if it snowed sufficiently, which it seemed to, you could go in a horse-drawn sleigh around their property.
Yes.
And it was just like, you know, it's like you, like I can go back to that moment in my childhood and be like, that was happening.
That was real.
This like scene from like a movie.
I know.
Was just like how they lived.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I just need to like message Aunt Marcia and be like, can we just come like come visit?
Can we just
come hang out?
Hey, we're just here now.
I just want to, because part of me is like, I bet if I went into that house, it would look almost the exact same. I bet there's still a sign on the toilet that says, hold the flusher down, you know? I bet it's the same size.
The same size. Why would they change it?
Why would you change it?
Don't,
you
know, mess with perfection.
Exactly.
Yeah. The other thing I always remember about that house is that it was like hand sawn, you know, from like wood on the property or whatever. And I remember grandpa telling me once upon a time that you could heat it with a tea light.
Heat it with a tea light?
Yes. Like, you know, like a tea candle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the little ones. He's like, it's that well insulated.
Oh.
Like all it takes is like lighting a candle and like that.
The
like,
whole
that, that's enough to like heat the house.
Well, there you go.
And I was just like, oh,
that's impressive, because I don't think of it as being well insulated.
Well, you know,
but it must be.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, at my house, you know, my windows are so old that like when you're sitting on the couch at night, if like the wind blows, you just feel it.
Yeah,
like the outside wind is just sort of coming through
through the window,
my 100-year-old windows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember also eating a lot of pancakes there.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so they were really good.
It's like something about it makes me think that they were probably like, you know, from the stone mill just down the way. You know, like
something
freshly hewn.
I feel like oats. I was sitting there as like an 8-year-old kid, and like Aunt Marcia would be like taking them off the pancakes. She'd be like, "You want any more?" And be like, "Yes." And it was like three rounds of that, and it'd be like, I'm like, I don't think I could eat as many pancakes today as I ate
That day as a kid. The best pancakes you ever had.
Best pancakes ever had.
Probably.
Probably.
We should go back.
I know. We should just go back. But that's the thing. It's like, I'm like, it feels impossible. And I'm like, I guarantee you, they'd be like, absolutely come hang out.
Dude, I know exactly what you mean, because every single time I've ever made contact with one of these people, there was a separate occasion where I was thinking about doing like some processing of wood by my lonesome.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the other sibling of this household, who is not the one who made us laugh and not the one who told the neighbors that we were having too much fun.
Oh, Will.
Will. Yeah. I was like, hey, I was thinking about getting like a sawmill to start like processing some of my own lumber. He talked to me on the phone for a full hour.
Full hour.
I hadn't talked to him in like a year.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I'm on my lunch break. Ask me any questions you got.
Yeah.
Just like, that is awesome.
I know. So who knows? Maybe we just like, maybe there's like some like long lost roots that we're like trying to replant or something.
That's what I think is happening.
Yeah.
You want to come live on the homestead with me?
I mean, I keep watching homestead people on Instagram and I'm like, I don't hate it. Like, I don't hate it. It just, like, I think in my mind when people say homestead and they're like, we're off the grid, we don't talk to anyone, we live in the woods and we make our own food out of trees, you know? And I'm like, that sounds terrible. That's not what I want.
Right,
but like,
right.
That's not really what it means.
No.
You know? It's
no.
Like, you still have neighbors. You still have internet and electricity and stores and stuff. You just, like, mostly live off what you grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
Not so bad. And it's not like you're, pardon me, it's like, no, we're homesteaded. Like, we don't buy things anymore. It's like, you definitely still buy things.
Can you imagine, we would probably be the first ever homesteaders in history that left our homestead every day to go and make content on the internet.
Except for the people who already do this that I'm watching on Instagram.
That's a really good point.
Although they don't, I wouldn't say they leave, they just film it around there. Their content is the homestead.
So we would be the first ever whose content wasn't
the homestead.
Until it inevitably became the homestead.
Yeah, until it was, yeah. We're already talking about it, Ben.
I want to show you guys what I'm doing.
I know.
My own eggs.
Right? I got my own eggs.
Get my winter squash ready for canning.
Exactly. Winter squash. I know. I was staring out at my garden. I was like, I bet I can make it bigger. I bet I can make it go down the hill. I could just add some stairs on the hill part, and then I could grow stuff next to the stairs, and then it just extend the fence, and then it would just make a nice flat backside to the yard, and then imagine how much more stuff I could grow.
Yeah, yeah. At some point in time, your kids are going to be like, Dad, you want to go throw the ball? And you're like, no, you're going to squash the squash.
Oh, I know. I'm like, kids, after you go to college, that backyard is just for food.
Just okay? for food.
We're we're growing.
That would be
growing.
That would be so amazing. You living in your suburban neighborhood, and it's like the backyard is literally just like
it's just a big garden,
vines and corn and probably beets.
Probably at that point, yeah. Why not?
Why not? It's good for heart health.
I know. I'm like I'm already thinking about my garden here because we're getting close. You know, we're maybe like I think last year it was like in April when I really started doing stuff.
It's making me really happy how much you're resonating with this vision.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I like
That's where I'm at in life at the moment. Cause I mean, I am in my mind counting on you to help me build a bigger fence.
Oh yeah. Around the garden. Naturally. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm already there.
Gotta have a whole weekend to do that. And then I'm like, but then I would tell our fence. I'm like, I can take advantage of that. I can grow beans all the way up the fence.
All the way up the fence. Yes. I mean, it's practical and practical.
Practical and practical. It's a win-win.
It's a twofer.
I know. I think people, do you know what? I think people are anti-win-win.
What?
I do.
Why is that?
Because people like the idea of the other people losing.
Oh.
They don't like, they like to feel like they got the advantage.
Do you feel like on some level in this particular instance, you would be getting the advantage over the likes of Bazooka Jack and or all of the deer in your neighborhood?
Oh, I don't care about wins for them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, right. So it's a win-win for you and a lose-lose for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's fine with me. Okay. Win-wins between people are great.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not trying to feed the animals. That's not a win-win. That's a win-loss. They are winning and I'm losing.
Right, right.
Yeah. I'm not there. I'm not growing food to feed the wildlife.
At least not yet.
Yeah.
Not until we have access.
Not until
in which case we'll share.
Which I just give it to other people still.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
But I mean, wouldn't it be kind of cute to go and leave like a carrot out for some bunnies?
No.
No.
I wouldn't do it.
Oh.
I'm not trying to attract wildlife. I'm not trying to like train them.
You could go to like a nearby forest and leave the carrot there.
I mean, I guess. If I throw a rogue carrot into the woods because I'm like, I don't know about this carrot. That's, you know, that's just me getting rid of that carrot. I'm just composting the woods. That's the other thing is I just put it in the compost heap. That's going right back into the earth.
Right back into the earth.
Yeah.
You can recycle those nutrients.
Exactly.
I really do love the world though where you get up in the morning and you've just got like a whole like basket that you probably like wove yourself out of like old corn husks. Mm-hmm. Full of carrots, and then as you drive down the road, you're just hucking your carrots.
Just hucking carrots out the road.
Or like otherwise, like a really weird prank if you've had like a Dinkelberg kind of like neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you just go and like sprinkle like some carrot dust all around.
Oh my gosh, that would be so mean.
Dinkelberg.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
That'd be all quite right, awful. Right.
Yeah. Yep. I mean it's a consideration.
Oh, I am so going to carrot your yard. You are not even going to know it.
You won't even know. All my potato peelings.
That's right. Oh, right. Look out. The deer are coming for you.
Your soil is going to be so much healthier.
Do you remember the movie The Big Green?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember the very beginning of that movie where the kids go lay out in the middle of a field and dump Cheetos all over themselves?
Yes.
Yeah, and then the birds come and eat all the Cheetos off of them.
Wow.
Which is what they're trying to accomplish.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. They're like, here they come. And they're just like covered in birds. What a pastime.
I mean, this movie, so The Big Green, in case you're unfamiliar.
It's a soccer movie, obviously.
Obviously. The green refers to the field, I think.
It's the name of the team. Yeah, they paint a goat green, and that's like their mascot.
Oh, is that safe?
Well, they did it.
Do they use goat safe paint?
I think so.
Okay, good. That's good. But yeah, they're like a bad soccer team, and then I think that the teacher shows up, and maybe she played like international soccer somewhere. She can punt the ball like a mile.
Okay, I don't remember as much about the teacher. I remember they recruit some kid, and he's like super good.
He's super good. They got to have the kid on the team who's super good.
Exactly.
It's like you can be like a group of ragtag, you know, whatevers.
Yeah.
But you still have to have that one kid.
You still got to have someone who like actually knows what they're doing.
The center forward.
Right.
Yeah. Go and just like punch the ball into the back of the net.
Exactly.
But anyway, they come together and they become good at soccer along the way. But yeah, it does to me feel like it would almost be like a bit of an acid trip to watch the movie now and be like, why was this a thing they wanted to do?
Right.
Was to go and dump Cheetos upon themselves for the birds to then come eat off of their selves.
For the thrills, man. Who doesn't want to be covered in birds?
lots of people.
I know. It feels like very unhealthy, very unsanitary.
It does seem a little bit unsanitary.
Because they're wild birds.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's one thing to go sit on a park bench and to throw some breadcrumbs on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a completely
it's
different
thing to throw them on yourself.
Throw the breadcrumbs on yourself in the middle of the field.
Right. Yeah. Can you imagine like going to a duck pond and being like, all right, lay down. I'll cover you in crumbs.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do it. Like, I would not do it. Yeah.
That does sound scary.
There needs to be a bench involved whenever feeding the birds. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that is like a staple of the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to be sitting on a bench. Here you go, ducks.
With like a brown paper bag and some like crumbled old, like, you know, it's kind of like bread that like, you know, it's not even bread you specifically bought for the ducks, but it's like the heel of the bread that sort of like went a little bit like crumbly and you can't really like make it into toast anymore. Mm-hmm. So now you've put it in the bag and you kind of crunch it up. And now you're just sitting out there with your bird friends.
Yeah. So what are you, when you have your lamb, what are you trying to plant on it, or are you trying to plant it at all, or do you just like want to have just the act of having a field?
It's a variety of things, but okay. I mean, I would certainly have like, and there already is on the property a very large staked out garden, which has tremendous appeal to me.
Nice.
And next to the tractor is like a pull behind tiller.
Oh.
So like you could literally like tractor till your yard. Nice. Which I mean, you know, like that just feels cool.
I'm buying
a
rototiller this year, man.
This is the year. I'm committing.
I'm not like, I mean, you know what? There's no reason not to, you know.
No, I agree. Like, I mean, I think
tired of tracking these things down.
I think at this point in time, you have earned the right to buy a rototiller.
I think so.
Even if it's a single use per year kind of thing. But I mean, who's to say? Like, you know, you guys don't have dogs. Like, you could always go fire that bad boy up and take it for a walk.
Just go, you know, walk the tiller.
Just you know, to make sure all the pistons and all the spark plugs are still feeling good and happy.
Exactly, right?
You know? You could get some fuel stabilizer to put in there. It's kind of like a dog treat. Except you would have to. Yeah, except it's for your rototiller.
Exactly.
Nothing I love better than to imagine you walking down the sidewalk in your neighborhood pushing a live rototiller.
Just on the asphalt.
It's like sparks are shooting up everywhere.
Howdy, neighbor!
You're like, I hate that guy.
You're not like him. He needs to move.
He needs to leave where we are.
I know.
Because it's not safe. Yeah, the other dogs hate it. Come up and try to sniff the butt, and they're like, whoa, turns out,
not so good. Smells like gas in here.
Smells like gas, yeah. Okay, yeah, so rototiller this year seems like a good one. Back to the land, though, yeah. Otherwise, there's the ability to have bonfires.
Yeah.
Which seems like a hooting and hollering good time. I've always really wanted to just be able to have like one of those like gators, like a side by side or like, you know, something like that. You can like patrol around.
Yeah.
There's a creek that goes through the property. So that's we could cool. go and like collect like some crawdads, sure. you know, with young Addison.
Mm-hmm.
She can go flip some rocks and find what lives underneath those rocks and come to know them.
Yep.
There's a type of thing that you don't want to find, but it's called a helgramite. So if anybody wants to go and look that up, enjoy the new nightmares.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they live in creeks and stuff.
Cool.
They make excellent bait, and I believe they turn into a moth
as
time goes on.
There you go.
So if anybody's ever wanted some good helgramite facts.
Living that moth life.
Oh, I do have to tell you, though, that while I was out on the property yesterday, while we're touring, they have a barn.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm in the barn, and I'm like, oh, cool, a chicken coop. And then, you know, as I'm like looking around, the realtor that was with me kind of did like a gasp. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, I think that's a dead donkey. And I turned my head, and lo and behold, laying on the ground of the barn was a coyote.
What?
Yeah.
A coyote?
A coyote.
Was there also a dead donkey?
There was no dead donkey. They just thought that the coyote was a donkey.
How big was the coyote?
It was pretty dog-sized. I think
how big does this person think a donkey is?
I don't know. The guess of donkey seemed a little off base for me.
Yeah.
And they seemed surprised that I was able to identify a coyote so quickly. And I was like, listen, me and coyotes go way back.
Listen, like the donkeys are going to be way closer to like horses in terms of shape, you know?
In size. Yeah. Yeah. Like kind of like a small horse.
Was it a dead coyote or a live coyote?
It was unfortunately a dead coyote.
There was just a dead coyote lying in your barn.
Well, not my barn.
Not your barn.
Yeah.
But what could have been your barn?
What could have been my barn? Yeah. 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 Okay. And then I was trying to decide whether or not that I thought that was a good or bad omen.
I know. Cause on the one hand it's coyote, but on the other hand it's dead.
you too have sorted the source of my confusion.
Yeah.
It's like coyotes and me are one.
Right.
However, this one, unfortunately, is not alive.
Yeah.
And so there's that.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how to read the tea leaves on that one.
I'm gonna go ahead and say bad omen.
You think it's a bad omen?
Dead coyote.
I mean, yeah, yeah. I did have it in my show notes though to let you know that I did see a new coyote.
Well, there you go.
Which makes my fourth encounter with coyotes.
My goodness.
Which also made me believe that if I did happen to move out to this particular property, that number would probably go up very fast.
Yeah, you don't even live there yet, and you've already encountered one.
I've already seen one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would go up a bunch. You'd be dealing with them coyotes, especially if you got like chickens or something.
I know. Which yeah. I mean, the coyote was right next to where the chickens used to live.
Yeah, yeah, he was definitely sniffing around for some free food.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but there were no more chickens left.
They were not.
Yeah, but they didn't die. They just have been removed.
They've just been removed.
Near as I could tell.
Yeah, maybe they were. Maybe he just came in and took them.
Right, I know. Man, how much of this do you think is just like farm life?
I mean, I don't know.
Nature's gonna nature, isn't it?
Nature is gonna nature, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I already said this out loud or not, but while we were walking the property, I could not believe the number of different tracks that I spotted.
Yeah.
I mean, there was all sorts of critters running around that place. I was like, I need a game camera. Yesterday.
Right. I mean, yeah. Animals live in the woods.
They do. Yeah. They do. And I want to befriend them with all of my excess carrots.
Yeah.
Although maybe not near my house.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the good news is that you can be kind of far away from the house and still be on the land.
Nice.
That's the perk of that much land.
That is.
Yeah. So anyway, now I kind of want to take you to see it. See if you feel the magic.
Okay.
Do you think you would?
I mean, I imagine I would feel some kind of magic. Yeah, for sure.
I think so. Yeah. We are on the same page.
Yeah.
This makes me very happy.
Oh, did you not think I'd be on the same page?
Not that I didn't think so,
yeah.
But there's more enthusiasm than I expected,
well,
which is warming my soul.
Oh, good, good.
Just like a nice pot of winter squash chili.
Winter squash chili.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta grow that winter squash so you got it all through the winter.
I wish I liked squash at all.
I know.
I know. It feels like if you're going to homestead, you really got to like squash.
I know.
Right?
It's like the
thing.
I don't think you got that I was going for Ariana Grande.
Oh, I got
version.
It.
Oh, you did? Okay,
yeah, no,
okay.
I got it, man. I'm picking up on that Wicked stuff. Dude, I love Wicked.
Do you think that I would be the first ever homesteader who just jams out to the Wicked soundtrack regularly?
I doubt it.
Yeah,
I
mean, probably not.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good.
Anybody can enjoy it.
Anyone could.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's probably a good place to end today's episode. Because people are probably like, guys, like, we get it.
What are you even talking about anymore?
This used to be about pop culture.
We'll make our own popcorn, man.
Make our own popcorn.
Exactly. That's the dream.
The Carlin Brothers popped corn.
That's right. Not only is it our brand, we grew it in our yards.
In our yards.
That's right.
Exactly.
Enjoy your very limited supply of popcorn.
Right, right. Yes.
Yeah.
It would be really fun to have like ratios on the side of every bag to be like 1/100th of this popcorn came from Jay's yard. The other 99/100ths came from Ben's yard.
Came from Ben's. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I mean, now I'm imagining like how much corn would you need to grow to get like a sizable amount of popping corn?
That's a good question.
Like,
and is popping corn just like a strain or is it like a process?
I bet it's both. But no, because sometimes you can like put corn over the fire and it'll just like pop right off the ear, you know? Like, that's a thing.
But it needs to be properly dried, right? It can't be like too moist.
Yeah, I think you probably have to dry it in some capacity.
Maybe you hang it upside down from
But like I'm a, thinking of like how many ear like if you buy like a bottle of like Orville Redenbacher like kernels.
Yeah.
How many ears of corn do you think that is, you know?
Oh man. Okay, let's think here. Average, how many kernels are on the average cob?
Well, that's a good question. Now we're just doing corn math.
How many kernels on the average ear of corn? 800.
800?
How many kernels in bag of popcorn? Let's see that. 300.
So one ear of corn could get you two bags of popcorn?
We are in business.
We are in business.
We are in business.
It's time to plant some popping corn.
That's it. Time to go make an offer.
Time to go. Here we go. This is it.
Tune in next week. That would be so funny.
For the Popping Adventure Hour.
Alice, for whatever reason, decides to listen to this episode of The Pop. And she's like, wait, what? What? What?
Starting a popcorn farm. Yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Well, plenty of popcorn to go around.
Exactly.
More than enough, even.
I bet it would taste way better than what you buy at the store.
Dude, I bet it would.
Yeah.
I bet it would be like really... You know what I really like is the kind that's shaped like the mushrooms?
Yeah.
Versus like
yeah, like
the,
for kettle corn versus yeah. like the butterfly popcorn.
Yes, versus the butterfly. Mm-hmm. We're a mushroom fam.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This all sounds really good. Guys, thank you so much, as always, for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so
by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture. Check out the unique selection of available popcorn-themed categories that we have over there. It's linked in every description of every show. You can just go and check that out. But otherwise, guys, until next time.
Pop, pop!
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.